need God's help to understand. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that helps us to understand your word. And Lord, when things go over our head, may we not, Lord, just dismiss them, but rather let us search out meaning. As the disciples did when they did not understand the parable of the sower and the seed, they came to you and asked you the meaning, and you gave it to them, Lord. And we want to be wise in that, Lord. We want to apply that knowledge to our lives, so we have to know what it means so we can apply it. Help us to apply these lessons, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're getting near the end of our journey. Okay. Lesson number 13. Oh, and I forgot to put the map up there. What do you know? All right. Okay. Well, we're toward the end of our journey. And let's just go and review a tiny bit from last time, the time before that. Pilgrim and Hopeful were traveling on the narrow road, and it became rough. Okay. And what happened to their souls? Their souls became what? Discouraged. Okay. Lack of courage. Okay. And so they decided to look for another way. They saw an easier way. They climbed over the stile into what meadow? What was the name of that meadow? Bypath Meadow. Okay? And they followed a man for a while. His name was Vain Confidence. Right? As many people have a vain confidence. Yeah, I'm going to the celestial city. I'm going to get to heaven. Okay? It's an empty confidence, a vain confidence. Not established on the Word of God. He disappeared, began to rain, the water began to rise, they hunkered down for a while, and then they woke up and giant despair. Okay. And again, despair is a very awful product of discouragement. Okay. As I said last time, we can get discouraged, but we don't want to despair. Despair means to give up all hope. And they were dragged off to Doubting Castle. They were cast into the dungeon. They were beaten senseless, almost within an inch of their life. And it was there in the dungeon that Christian bemoaned his life and said in the words of Job, "My soul chooses strangling rather than life." Okay? And that's what happens to many a soul. They despair to the point they want to die. Job did that. Job cursed the day of his birth. Okay, wished he had never been born. He wasn't cursing God face to face, but in a sense he was angry at God's providence in having him born. Right. So it got pretty tough there between Job and God. There was a contention there, the Bible says. Right. Can you think of anyone else in the Bible, notable figures? There are a few others who wanted to die. For the wrong reason. The Apostle Paul said it, we're better to depart and be with Christ. That's a good reason. But there are a number of individuals, some well-known characters, who, because of some difficulty in life, they expressed desire to die, just like many Christians do. You think of any?
Elijah.
Okay, Elijah, right?
Jonah.
Jeremiah.
No, for the right reason, he chose to die. First one's Moses, okay? And then we'll go to those ones you mentioned. So there's four, right? Plus Job. And we'll see that the reason why they wanted to die, right? It was to escape some hardship. It was pain in their life. Moses said, Numbers 11, where can I get meat or food for all these people? How many Israelites left Egypt about, you know? I heard 2 million, so maybe between 600,000 and 2 million?
I think it was all. You're right, yeah.
Is it? Okay. They keep wailing to me, complaining, all right? You know, are we there yet? That type of thing. Where's our food? Where's our water? What are we doing here? Did you bring us out here to die? Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you intend to treat me, notice how some great saints talk to God, you know? It's like we do sometimes. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. I don't know what version this is. It's not King James. Do me a favor and spare me the misery. Right? just kill me. Then there was Elijah, okay? Oh, let's go back to Moses. Why did he want to die? What was the main reason for that? Carrying a heavy burden, 2 million people, right? So sometimes our burdens get so heavy, we just want to die. So if our burdens get heavy, what should we do instead of wishing for death? Exactly as the Apostle Peter said. Cast your cares on Jesus. Cast those burdens on the Lord. Okay? Okay, Elijah. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. He had just called down fire from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, had the prophets of Baal slain. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of those dead prophets of Baal." Elijah was afraid. Okay? So one day he's super courageous. Okay? Then he becomes discouraged when he hears the threat of Jezebel. He loses that courage. And then it leads to despair. Okay? So we can go from courage to discouragement to despair. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. So here I have another one, just praying for death. Okay? "I have had enough, O Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Okay. Do you think it was just fear that caused him to want to die? Because Jezebel was going to kill him, and he ran from that. So I don't think it was the fear of death, because he wished for death, right? He longed for death. So it wasn't death that he feared. Though he feared her, he was afraid for a while, but then when he wished to die, what do you think it was that caused him that death wish? It's in his words there at the end. "I am no better than my ancestors." I think it was his failure to stand up to Jezebel. I think it was the shame he felt, the cowardice. Okay, "I'm no better than the others. I'm no better than my fathers," it reads in King James. "I'm no better than the other prophets who gave up, who capitulated, who ran away from Jezebel, others." Okay? So I think it was his failure here. And that's a big reason to become discouraged and to despair. And there was Jonah, who came out of the belly of the whale. He preached to Nineveh, and when it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind first he dried up the gourd, then the east wind blew it away, I think it was. And so the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death." Okay? So what caused Jonah's death wish here? Because the sun was beating down upon his head? I think that was it? He's fainting? Any ideas, Gary?
Nineveh repented.
Yeah, right. Nineveh repented. So why was he upset with that? He was angry. "I'll be angry even unto death." What was he angry at here? They repented, but greater than that was God showing mercy to them. They don't deserve mercy. Of course they didn't. But neither did he. Okay? He suffered, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, probably being digested, probably being skin bleached and hair falling out, all of that. And that was the judgment of God, the wrath of God on him, to have him repent. And so maybe he expected a worse judgment for the people of Nineveh. Hey, if I got that, why don't they get something bad? Right? So I think he was upset with God's grace upon the people of Nineveh. Right? As we can be sometimes when we see wicked people having God bestow grace, not just maybe not saving grace upon people, as it was in the case of Nineveh, but other grace upon people. They prosper. Right? Psalm 73, Asaph was jealous at the prosperity of the wicked. That's God's grace upon them. That's God's grace upon the wicked. He makes the sun to shine on the wicked and the just, the righteous. He causes the wicked farmer's crops to grow as well as the righteous. In fact, the righteous might find more drought, might find more pestilence as a test of his faith when God's not testing the wicked. Okay, let them go. So I think it was, he was just not happy with the way God was doing things. And then there was Jeremiah, and I'm going to read to you. This is probably referring to the time when he was put in stocks. Jeremiah chapter 20. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not that day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Okay. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. Let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my day should be consumed with shame. Right? Probably said that while being treated that way. And you know, sometimes God allows us to be in stocks. What do I mean by that?
Tormented.
Could be tormented. He allows the tormentor to come. Okay. What are some other ways that we can find ourselves like that? By God allowing. By God's allowance. Okay. I mean, God allowed that to happen to Jeremiah. Right? Could have stopped it. He allowed it. Find ourselves in sickness, right? We're chained, we're bound up in illness, or poverty. Okay? And we begin to curse the day we were born. So Jeremiah sounded a lot like Job there. And so, pilgrim and Christian and hopeful, using the key of what? What was the key called?
Promise.
Key of promise. Unlocks every door in Doubting Castle. They escaped. Giant Despair had one of his fits. He couldn't catch them. And they came back over and they set up a warning. Okay? I think the next time I read Pilgrim's Progress from cover to cover, I want to jot down how many warnings are given. Many, many warnings are given. And here, Christian and hopeful are giving a warning. Again, over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, who despises the king of the celestial city and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims. So next we come with our pilgrims to the Delectable Mountains. What does the word delectable mean? Something is delectable. No, delectable.
Wonderful.
Wonderful, delicious, beautiful.
From Willy Wonka.
Just wonderful, okay? And so they come up to the Delectable Mountains, and from there they can see the celestial city. Okay? And this is a spiritual growth on the part, okay? Not just length of journey. Some people travel for years and years on the road and they go nowhere, okay? And they don't really envision heaven. They don't have that view of heaven. Okay? They're not heavenly minded. Okay? Now, yes, Pilgrim was heavenly minded when he first read in the book that there was a celestial city to run to, right? But he couldn't see it. He could barely see the light, barely see that light by the gate. Okay? But now he gets a grander view of the celestial city. As we grow in the Lord, heaven becomes more real to us. The beauty of Christ becomes greater to us. The Delectable Mountains. And there they meet who? The shepherds. Okay. What are their names?
Knowledge, experience, watchful, and sincere.
And sincere. Knowledge, experience, watchful, and sincere. One commentator wrote this about the Delectable Mountains. The former, that is the representation at the Palace Beautiful. What happened at the Palace Beautiful?
Four women.
Right. The four women. And what did he leave with? the armor, right? That was the former representation at the Palace Beautiful, was elementary and preparatory, preparing him. This is advanced. In other words, the Delectable Mountains, this is advanced enlightenment and guidance among spiritual heights. It is a place of contemplation such as is possible only after ripe experience. Okay. And so most newborn Christians don't have that grand view of heaven. They have a little bit of that light. They have a little taste of it, right? A foretaste of glory divine, as Fanny Crosby wrote, right? But as we experience in life more trials, more sufferings, more of God's grace, more temptations, more of God's help, as our experience grows, we begin to have a more beautiful picture of heaven. And John Bunyan's pastor, John Burton, and we read this on Roman numeral page 25, because John Bunyan was criticized for not being a university grad. What was his occupation, remember? What was his John Bunyan's occupation? Tinker. What's a tinker?
Fixes
pots and pans, right? It makes pots and pans, is that right? Yeah, tinker, okay?
Tinker.
So he didn't have much of education, and he received a lot of criticism from colleagues. And so his pastor stood up for him. We read this, but let's read it again. This man is not chosen out of an earthly, but out of a heavenly university. Okay. The Church of Christ, that's the heavenly university. He has, through grace, taken these three heavenly degrees. That is, union with Christ, the anointing of the Spirit, and experiences of the temptations of Satan. Okay. That's very important, because not just union with Christ and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but experience with the devil. Experiences with temptations, which do more fit a man for that mighty work of preaching the gospel than all university learning and degrees that can be had. So Pastor Burton stood up for his parishioner, John Bunyan. Reminded me of D.L. Moody. Okay? D.L. Moody was a Baptist pastor from Chicago in the 1800s. And he had a fifth grade education. That's it. He didn't get past the fifth grade. What grade are you in, Christian?
Six.
Okay, so you could stop there, and you could be a great preacher. See that? You could stop right there. You know a little bit of Latin, right? We don't need, you know, Latin if you're going to... Bunyan didn't know Hebrew and Greek. D.L. Moody didn't know English hardly. Okay, he was criticized for butchering the English language. Right? And yet, he led a million souls to Christ. D.L. Moody was at a prayer meeting once. I think the prayer meeting was up in a hayloft, if I recall. And someone in the prayer meeting said, God has yet to see... I'm sorry, the world has yet to see what God could do in and through a man wholly consecrated to him. And D.L. Moody said, I want to be that man. And he led a million souls to Christ. And so, John Bunyan, D.L. Moody, not very well educated, okay, but very well in touch with God and experienced the temptations of Satan. All right, let's go to page 135. We're only going to go to page 140, I think it is, tonight. Page 135, 137, so a Christian hopeful meet the shepherds. What's another name for shepherds?
Watchers.
Pastors, elders of the church. Okay. They give watch and guidance, right? And so Christians asked the shepherds, is the way safe or dangerous? The shepherds answered, safe for those for whom it is to be safe, but the transgressors shall fall therein. And in order to understand that better, Bunyan gave us the footnote of Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Remember what Michael preached on Sunday from James. What was it? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay? Who gives what? Stingily. Liberally. He's a liberal. Did you know God was liberal? He gives generously. Okay? If you ask him. Right? Keep on asking too. Right? So who is wise? He shall understand these things. Prudent, which also means wise, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, in the ways of the Lord. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Okay? Those that do not walk in the ways. The just walk in the ways of the Lord. The unjust do not. Okay? Page 136. Then said the shepherds one to another, shall we show these pilgrims some wonders? Okay? And of course, right away we think wonders. Oh, something wonderful. Okay? And it was wonderful. It was full of wonder. Okay? But it wasn't what perhaps they expected up to see in the Delectable Mountains. Okay? So even in those Delectable Mountains, so close to the celestial city and so much closer to God now, they have to see something terrifying. The warnings don't cease. Let us show the pilgrims something, some wonders. So when they had concluded to it, they had them first to the top of a hill called Error, which was very steep on the furthest side. It was a cliff on one side. And bid them look down to the bottom. So Christian and Hopeful looked down and saw at the bottom several men dashed all to pieces by a fall that they had from the top. Okay? So there were a number of people who fell off of Mount Error. And here is some kind of map that came out of a book, it looks like, because of this maybe thing in place in the middle here. But here are the Delectable Mountains, Mount Caution, Mount Marvel, Mount Clear, Mount Innocence, Mount Charity. Okay? This is the byway to hell, which we'll come across in a moment. These are the Delectable Mountains. And here is the Mount Error. Okay? And here are the bodies of those who erred from the faith. Okay? Which the Bible warns us about, erring from the faith. Okay? In fact, one of the things, there are many things that caused that, and one of the things the Apostle Paul wrote, Timothy, and we'll just throw this in here, it's not up there. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, let us be content. How rare that is, okay, in the church. Right? And it's getting rarer still with all the prosperity preachers around. To be content with food and clothing and the basic necessities that just embraces, you know, it doesn't talk about a house, but that embraces a roof over your head too, I'm sure. But they that will be rich, those that want to be rich, fall into temptation and a trap, a snare, into many foolish and hurtful desires, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, that's money, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And he says, O man of God, or woman of God, flee these things. Okay? Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Right? So here we have the shepherds warning these two pilgrims of those who have erred from the faith. And again, there are many different reasons why. One reason here, covetousness, the love of money. Okay? Will cause one to err from the true faith. And remember when Paul talked to Timothy, talked about the young widows who cast off their first faith. Okay? So people who have erred from the main faith still maintain some other kind of faith, which is not saving faith. They have cast off their first faith, said Paul, these young widows, who go about from house to houses, gossips and busybodies, having damnation. So just because a person, yeah, I have faith, yeah, I believe, I have faith, Is it the real faith? Is it real faith? Okay. That abandons all, okay, to follow Christ. All right, page 137. Then said Christian, what means this? This cliff with these dead corpses at the bottom, broken. The shepherds answered, have you not heard of them that were made to err by hearkening to Hymenaeus and Philetus as concerning the faith of the resurrection of the body? They were saying that the resurrection has taken place already, and they overthrew the faith of some. They answered, yes, we've heard of them. Then said the shepherds, those that you see lie dashed in pieces at the bottom of this mountain are they. And they have continued to this day unburied, as you see, for an example to others to take heed how they clamber too high. What does the word clamber mean? You don't know it? It means to climb, yes. It means to climb, though, with much difficulty on the hands and knees. Okay? In other words, we're really, you know, we're not just, as Hopeful was going to look into Demas' silver mine, these people are going after it, okay? They're coveting, in a sense, like they coveted wealth. They're clambering after it, right? So if we stay to the straight and narrow, we can't fall into error. Okay. If you keep your eyes on Christ and you're in the Word, you can't fall into error. Right? Remember what the Apostle Paul said, and these thoughts come to my mind. Once in a while, things come into my mind. I better hurry up because I don't stay there too long. He talks about the Antichrist being revealed. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Okay? All power. Okay? All the power that God will allow him to have. And with all deceivableness. And this is how emphasize it, with all power, all deceivableness. Every type of deception. Of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Why? They don't seek the love of truth. It doesn't say they don't seek the truth, they don't seek the love of the truth. God gives us love of truth. God gives us that love of truth. That they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God will send a strong delusion for those that do not love the truth or want to love the truth. Right? If you want to be deceived, you'll be deceived. Right? So love the truth. Okay? Ask God to give you more love for the truth. Right? And we know truth hurts, doesn't it, sometimes? Right? Okay, so we finish this. They clamber too high, or how they come too near the brink of this mountain. And so they look down and they see a number of dismembered bodies and bones, and it was there, left unburied, to warn the pilgrims, even at the Delectable Mountains, even at this beautiful place. So no matter where we are in our journey, there are always warnings given us. Okay? Always warnings. Commentator said this, I couldn't find his name. He said, the shepherds are careful to leave these remains for the sober viewing of passing pilgrims. Residency in a local church, he's talking about a good, solid church, biblical church. Residency in a local church is not a guarantee against misadventure. But residency in a local church ought to include plain warning concerning the subtle invasion of error. Paul constantly, as the Apostle Paul, constantly warns local churches of insidious, what does that mean, insidious? Deceptive, okay? And cancerous error that invades authentic fellowships. Okay? The devil already has the Kingdom Hall and the Mormon Temple. He has those. He wants the sheep. He wants to come into the church. Okay? And this is the one warning that Paul gives to the Ephesian pastors or elders. And he's telling them first, notice, take heed unto yourselves first. Okay? If a pastor doesn't take heed to himself, he can't take heed for anyone else. Right? Parents, take heed for your children. In a sense, you're pastoring your family, right? You must take heed to yourself first. Okay? Teachers, right, are to take heed for themselves first before they can help their students. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed. Okay? So if a overseer, a pastor, is not feeding the flock, if the teacher is not feeding the class, if the parents aren't feeding, okay, their children, what happens? Okay, they'll err. Okay, they will err. They will look for some other source of nutrition. Okay? And that's why so many people have strayed into cults, because they're looking for something for their soul. They're not being fed. They're not being fed. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, from your rank of the clergy, from the pastors, your teachers, among you will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Okay. One of the reasons I did not want to be a pastor is because I saw my dad in tears often. Okay. I don't want that. And I, as a pastor, there have been a lot of tears. Okay. So, pastors have to feed themselves and they feed the flock. Parents have to feed themselves. Take heed to themselves. Feed themselves too, and then take heed to their family. Feed their family. Page 137. Then I saw that they had them to the top of another mountain, and the name of that is Caution, and bid them look afar off, which when they did, they perceived, as they thought, several men walking up and down among the tombs that were there. So again, we see that in the Delectable Mountains, there again is another warning and some sorrow of heart. Okay? When they looked down upon the dead men that fell off Mount Error, there was fear, there was sorrow. Again, okay, as Christians, we're never free from sorrow in our journey. Okay? Never free from those warnings, from sadness. Okay? They thought they saw several men walking up and down among the tombs that were there, and they perceived that the men were blind because they stumbled sometimes upon the tombs, and because they could not get out from among them. Then said Christian, what means this? The shepherds answered, and this causes them a lot of tears, a lot of sorrow. Not so much for the men that were blind walking among the tombs, but for themselves. The shepherds then answered, did you not see a little below these mountains a stile? Uh-oh. Yeah, we saw that stile. Very well. We touched it. We climbed over it. They didn't say anything. Did you not below see a little stile that led into a meadow on the left hand of this way? They answered, yes. Then said the shepherds, from that stile there goes a path that leads directly to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair. And these, pointing to them along among the tombs, came once on pilgrimage, as you do now, even till they came to that same stile, and because the right way was rough in that place, they chose to go out of it, out of that way, into that meadow. And there they were taken by Giant Despair, cast into Doubting Castle, where after they had been a while kept in the dungeon, he at the last did put out their eyes, led them among the tombs, where he left them to wander to this very day, that the saying of wise man might be fulfilled, he that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Okay, then Christian and Hopeful looked upon one another with tears gushing out, but yet said nothing to the shepherds. Okay. Why were they crying? Gushing tears?
Remembering what they went through.
They remembered Doubting Castle quite well, right?
They were probably just so thankful that they were able to get out.
Yeah.
They had the key promise.
The tears, too, could be such thankfulness because they could be like those blind men among the tombs. Or all the bones that Giant Despair showed them that he had dismembered. Right? And yet they said nothing to the shepherds. Why do you think they were silent? Maybe embarrassed? Shame? Humbled? Yes. Like, there are some things, right, that we're ashamed of, right? Embarrassed about? We don't have to talk about that to anyone but God, right? They've confessed their sins. They repented. They went back. They're right. So they said nothing to the shepherds. Right? Okay, now we go to page 139 where our new chapter starts. And we're just going to go into this a little bit. And then this is Christian Hopeful and the Shepherds, page 139. Then I saw in my dream that the shepherds had them to another place in a bottom where was a door in the side of the hill. So here comes another warning. And they opened the door and bid them look in. They looked in, therefore, and saw that within it was a very dark, smoky. They also thought they heard there a rumbling noise of a fire, as of a fire, and a cry of some tormented, that they smelt the scent of brimstone. Then said Christian, "What means this?" The shepherds told them, "This is a byway to hell, a way that hypocrites go in at, namely such as sell their birthright with Esau, such as sell their master with Judas, such as blaspheme the gospel with Alexander, and that lie and dissemble with Ananias and Sapphira his life." Dissemble means to be hypocritical. Then said Hopeful to the shepherds, "I perceive that these had on them, even every one," that is, Esau, Judas, Alexander, probably referring to Alexander and Hymenaeus, whose faith was shipwrecked, Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit that they had sold a parcel of land. Here's the amount of it. They lied, tried to deceive God. That every one of them had on them a show of pilgrimage, as we have now. Have they not? Okay. They appeared to be Christian. They appeared to be going in the same direction. Okay. "Yes," says the shepherds. And they held it a long time, too. Okay. But eventually, the hypocrites are found out. Like the wheat and the tares. Remember, Jesus said that the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Right? And the tares look very much like wheat until right before harvest, or just at the time of harvest, they turn blackish. Okay, and then you can tell. Then you can separate, okay, the tares from the wheat. So eventually, the false Christian will be known. The hypocrite will be found out. "Yes, and they held her for a long time," said the shepherds. "How far might they go on in pilgrimage in their day, since they notwithstanding were thus miserably cast away?" How far could they go like this? Shepherds say some further, some not so far as these mountains. Then said the pilgrims one to another, "We had need to cry to the strong." Doesn't sit grammatically correct with us. Cry to the strong is referring to God, to Christ, for strength. Okay? We need to cry to him for strength. Okay? So you see the reason why they were warned in these three things. What were the three warnings they got at the Delectable Mountain? See, we think we're getting close to God. Remember when Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah was brought into the presence of God. Was it a beautiful experience for him? Well, at first, no. Okay. What happened? Oh,
wretched,
right? You say a wretched man. That's Paul said wretched man I am, but yeah. Woe is me. I am undone, right? Hey, you're in the presence of God and I'm undone, okay? I'm coming apart, okay? I'm a man of what? Unclean lips, okay? And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So when we get closer to God, when we come to those delectable mountains, okay, don't expect everything to be so pretty and beautiful and lovely. God's going to deal with us. Okay, He's going to show us the plagues of our heart. The Bible says when we make supplication to the Lord, He shows us the plagues of our heart. He'll show us the pride. He'll show us the covetousness. Show us the jealousy we have of other people. He'll show us these things. And it's good. So Isaiah's experience was not at first pleasant, but what happened? The burning coal from off the altar came down, touched his lips, made him clean. And so, what were the three warnings? What was the first warning that the pilgrims had in the Delectable Mountains? Hill of error. Mountain of error. They saw dismembered bodies that had gone astray. Okay. What was the second warning? The blind men walking among the tombs. Okay. A giant despair had put there, blinded them, put them there. Third was byway to hell. Right? The byway, right? To hell. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, A, you will have need to use it as the strength of God, right? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And use it when you have it, okay? By this time, the pilgrims had a desire to go forward. I had enough warnings, okay? So we don't have dead bodies, blind people, let's go, all right? And so it's meant to be. It's meant to be that our journey does not get bogged down, to keep going. And the shepherds a desire they should. So they walked together towards the end of the mountains. Then said the shepherds one to another, let us here show to the pilgrims the gates of the celestial city. If they have skill to look through our perspective glass, through our telescope. The pilgrims then lovingly accepted the motion. So they had them to the top of a high hill called Clear and gave them their glass to look at, their telescope. Then they essayed, or prepared to look, but the remembrance of that last thing that the shepherds had showed them, which was my way to hell, where the hypocrites go, okay, the Esau's, the Judas's, okay, they showed them, made their hands shake, by means of which impediment they could not look steadily through the glass. Yet they thought they saw something like the gate and also some of the glory of the place. So they were still shaking. They were still upset with all that they had seen, especially that last one. Because they had to take it to heart. God doesn't give us warnings because, or just because. I remember years ago there was the incident of the Tampa Bay Bridge. I think it was back in the 80s, Tampa, Florida. There's a big bridge. And there were some big ships moored out in the harbor. And the storm arose, and one of the big ships, like a 600-foot cargo ship, broke loose from its mooring, and it crashed into one of the pillars of the Tampa Bay Bridge. And a 100-foot section of the bridge collapsed, the road collapsed. And that Tampa Bay Bridge is very high. If you've been on it, I've been on it before the collapse and after the new one. It's a very high bridge. And it was stormy, it was raining, foggy, and a couple cars went off the bridge. Okay. And then one man stopped his car just a few feet before the bridge. He saw it. He stopped his car. He gets out. He sees headlights coming down. He starts waving, stop, stop, stop. He's warning people. One car went by, zoomed by. Okay. And then finally, a Greyhound bus comes by. And he's standing right in front of that bus. He's, stop, stop, stop. Greyhound bus went right off the edge. All 35 people perished. Right? Now, either the bus driver or the other driver did not see the man giving a warning, or they thought he's crazy. Okay? I'm not going to stop in the middle of the bridge. Okay? Maybe he's got a flat tire. I can't stop here. Maybe they didn't see it. They perished. Right? So warnings aren't given just for no reason, okay? For lack of a better term. God gives us warnings because we can go astray. Right? And so that's why they trembled, that's why they wept, that's why they could not hold the glass steadily because they were in shock yet. Okay, and that's good because these warnings push us forward, as do the encouragements of God and the love of God. And that's why warnings are given, out of love. Right? Page 40, we'll end here. Then they went away and sang the song, "Thus by the shepherd secrets are revealed, which from all other men are kept concealed. Come to the shepherds then, if you would see things deep, things hid, and that mysterious be." Right? That's why God has appointed pastors and churches to teach. So when they were about to depart, one of the shepherds gave them a note of the way. I'm not quite sure what that meant. Okay. Another of them bid them beware of the flatterer. So either they were warned again. Okay. Beware of the flatterer. And they did fall subsequently into his net. Right? Beware of the flatterer. The third bid them take heed that they sleep not upon the enchanted ground. Okay? And the fourth bid them Godspeed. So I awoke from my dream. Okay. And then he goes back to sleep again, John Bunyan. Okay. That's a good dream. Those are the kind of dreams we should have. Okay. Any questions? Okay, so we'll look some more about their journey next week. Yes, Gary? I think for one reason, because there was even later on at the gates of the celestial city. What?
Because there was one guy at the gate of the celestial city. He didn't
right.
know it was parchment
right.
or scroll.
Ignorance.
He brought him back there.
Right.
And put him in.
Yeah, there was a door right there from the gate. Okay, and Bunyan exclaimed how horrible that even from the gates of heaven there is a doorway to hell. Okay, so in other words, that was at the end of the journey. Where ignorance was so filled with self-confidence and ignorance that he gets right to heaven itself and ends up in hell. And so that byway to hell was for pilgrims who had journeyed a long time. Remember they asked, how long can a person go on this journey? They said, some very long, some very short. Formalist hypocrisy went byways to hell, at hill difficulty, see, early on in their journey. So is showing us that any time along the way, a person may, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Okay? You have to be a Christian your whole life. You have to keep going, right? You have to endure to the end, right? That's one thing Bunyan says, a real believer endures to the end. Okay. So I think that's why he puts it there, because there were some who had traveled so far and still ended up in hell. Some will travel right, you know, ready to receive the reward. Where's my treasure? Where's my crown? You don't get one. So deceived, so deluded they have been. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, let's pray then. Close and let's apply the wisdom here we learned and the warnings and the encouragement. And enjoy the delectable mountains, the presence of God. Father, we thank you that we can be brought into your presence very deeply, very beautifully, like Isaiah was, Lord, but yet you'll show us all the more how defiled we are. When we think of Isaiah, he was a preacher, a prophet. He might not really have seen those unclean lips or gave it much attention till he was in your presence. And Lord, as we climb through the delectable mountains, getting closer to you, we see more clearly heaven, the things that you have that await us, the rewards, the home, most importantly yourself, to be with you forever. Lord, you give us multiple warnings not to sleep on the enchanted ground, not to turn astray, not to go after errors, false teachers, but to remain in love with the truth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.